AM 560, The Answer. From the local youth hockey rink to the ultimate stage of professional ice hockey arenas, you are on the air with In the Crease and your host, Kenny McCartan, professional ice hockey skating and skills coach, bringing you into the arena and into the world of ice hockey. Brought to you by Coco 5, hydration and performance powered by all-natural coconut water and Garden Fresh Market, the world's best produce delivered fresh to their stores 7 days a week. And now, In the Crease. With your host, Kenny McCudden.
You are on the air and in the crease with your host, Kenny McCudden, professional skills and skating coach for the Chicago Wolves Hockey Club. This part of In the Crease is sponsored in part by Rosemont. It's all here. Tickets are on sale now for Imagine Dragons June 15th at the Allstate Arena. For more things to do, visit rosemont.com. My guest for tonight is Glenn Crichton, the former Ontario Hockey League director and development coordinator who now heads up the Coping Center in Cambridge, Ontario. Welcome to In the Crease, Glenn.
Thanks, Kenny. It's great to be with you again, and it's good to reconnect. We've been together on the ice a few times, and so it's great to reconnect through the phone.
Glenn, for sure. I met you through our dear friend John Anderson from the Chicago Wolves. John thought that I'd be a good fit for your development program throughout the OHA, and the OHA board really welcomed me in a special way to the program.
Well, and you know, one of the things that we've really worked on over the past number of years, particularly in the OHA, is really going back and helping young players develop skills. We are, I guess, in hockey, we've been great at developing systems. So, you know, we have some tremendous hockey systems that have come out of our game, and we try to deploy them with young people. But we've kind of, for a number of years, maybe got away from just developing some of the basic skills. And so bringing you in was a part of highlighting that for our teams, that we need to get back to some of the basics, and simply being able to give and take a pass was pretty important in the game, and we needed to go back to maybe do that with a little more effectiveness and efficiency than we'd done in the past.
Well, Glenn, I remember my first time there. I forgot exactly. It might have been in London at the time, but my equipment never came. My skates, my stick, my sweatsuit. We had to borrow everything for my teaching that day, and that was my welcome to the OHA symposium.
It's kind of the mantra of the hockey player, always be ready.
I borrowed a pair of skates off of a young kid in the other arena, which was an absolute classic.
Well, we had a great time, though, and certainly that didn't hold you back.
Glenn, you're right. It was a terrific time. But how many years were you involved in the OHA?
I was actually working in the OHA for 11 years as the technical director. Prior to that, I had been involved as a director on the board of directors, and then prior to that, you know, sort of played at all levels and coached and managed in the OHA. I, you know, played at the junior C, the junior B, the junior A, and the senior level, and then was involved in coaching and managing. So kind of the OHA has a big place in my heart, and when I had the opportunity to get involved in maybe helping other young people develop in the game, I sort of jumped at it, and it was kind of a great fit and the right timing for me.
I was so sorry to hear about our dear friend Bill Weir. We just lost him, and I know he was very influential throughout the program.
Absolutely. Bill has a wonderful history also in the OHA, and you know, you look for guys that you can model your involvement in the game after, and Bill was a guy that was very selfless. He was always interested in what everybody else was doing. He was a very fair man whenever he dealt with any issues, and you know, he was always at the rink. So he was involved, and he'll be deeply missed by all those teams that he looked after.
Throughout the league, what type of change are you seeing today that you guys have to keep on going back to, either to correct it or move on to something else? But I'm talking about just change for the better. What are you seeing in today's association today?
Well, there's a couple of things that we've really noticed, and I think it started back. The OHA was one of the first organizations to take a really solid look or a good look at the whole concussion issue. You know, we pioneered way back before anyone else the checking behind penalties and the head checking penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And we began to, you know, to understand and see just how not only dangerous they were, but how, you know, long-term debilitating they could be. So we began to pilot those types of penalties. began to look at ways in which we could put policy in place, actually even to what is a head check and what isn't a head check, and what is checking from behind, and how do you call that, and what is the appropriate penalty. So that was all part of probably about 8 or 9 years ago that that the OHA started to look at that, which was a very important piece. We also, sadly, in the game, and most people will remember the Sheldon Kennedy and also in that is the Theo Fleury stories of where abuse had been part of the game, and it kind of was a wake-up call. You know, I think there was a time when we thought it touched every other part of our society but didn't touch us in hockey. And so as a result, Hockey Canada really jumped in with a program called Safe Talk, called Speak Out.
Mm-hmm.
And Speak Out really was about providing a safe environment for young people to thrive in, you know, free of abuse and harassment. And I think sometimes in the past, you know, certain ways that people in the game conduct themselves, coaches yelling and screaming at kids or, you know, even some physical things that went on, you know, pushing and shoving, where adults were probably more acting like kids than kids acted, we might have thought that, oh, that's just part of the game and you know, they're good coaches. And so people didn't react. But I think when Sheldon Kennedy came forward with his revelation and later on Theo Fleury, it was a tremendous wake-up call. And so we realized that as adults, we have a responsibility to protect young people and that we need to step up and make sure that we can take out the abuse and harassment in the game. You know, hazing was running rampant at that time, and that was just such a destructive activity. It didn't help performance, and potentially it was life-threatening.
You think we have a control over the hazing thing?
You know, I think we're better than we were.
Okay.
I think that, you know, sometimes it takes place what I call underground, but I think that what we've been able to do is help teams and coaches and hockey people understand the difference between team building and hazing and the dangers of hazing as it relates to the impact of young people, how we cannot know how someone is thinking. So what we think is okay may not be okay to that person that is receiving the activity. And some of the activity, you know, that included alcohol and other dangerous activities put young people's lives at risk. So I think that, at least in the OHA, we have not had the same problems that we've had before, and we don't see it running as rampant as we did. But I don't think we want to be naive to think that the job is done yet.
And Glenn, it's not just in hockey. I mean, we're seeing it in women's athletics. We're seeing it here in the States, going back to the hazing situation. I mean, there is problems.
Absolutely. And so we can't ever sit back and think that we've done enough. But I think that we're making strides, and that's positive. You know, we tried to define what this activity looked like, and anytime we have a power relationship, that power can be used for good or it can be used for bad. And so when there's a power relationship, whenever we isolate a group amongst a group, like rookies versus veterans, there's a group within a group, and whenever we humiliate people, then that's when we start to see the difference between team building and hazing, and those are the things that we want to get out of the game because they don't have a place, they don't have a value. No one performs better when they're afraid. It's not about being part of a team. We have lots of ways to include people to be parts of teams without having to conduct a behavior that either is risky, humiliating, or abuse of power. And so we're trying to do that education piece because education changes behavior. So that was really the big piece of the Speak Out program as well. There was an education piece, but then there was an advocacy piece because a lot of times players and people in the game and even outside the game, they suffered in silence because they were afraid to come forward because they thought that people wouldn't believe them or that they were embarrassed to come forward or all these different reasons. So we wanted to make it easy for anyone that felt that they had encountered abuse to come forward and disclose. And then we had to develop policies for which to review that. And then we had to even develop penalties for which would be imposed depending on the circumstances and the type of abuse that was conducted. So those are things, you know, going back, I think the concussions, we've seen changes there where we begin in the last 5 or 6 years to see the terrible impact of concussions and how multiple concussions can have a terrible impact on young players' futures. And we need to look at how, ways that we can protect that. I think the abuse and harassment has been a change. And the within the game, we've looked at, you know, checking from behind and head checking,
sure.
and even fighting in the game. You know, we've taken a close look at that now and starting to see that, you know, that, you know, what used to be considered part of the game, it goes on, but maybe it's not as significant a part of the game as it used to be. And certainly watching Olympic programs and even the playoffs that we're seeing today, the competition and the skill level is so high that we're not seeing the fights that we used to see perhaps in series in the past. So there's changes in the wind as well.
Well, I'd like to cover today's athlete when we return. You have been listening to In the Crease Hockey Radio. We will be right back after these messages.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm BJ Lozano with your look at traffic on the eastbound side of the Tri-State Toll. The emergency crews are on scene, shutting down all lanes right before Half Day Road due to a multi-vehicle crash. Traffic is solid to Town Line Road and stretching back as far as Bradley Road. Heading northbound on I-57, there's a crash that's blocking the right lane right after 115th Street. However, crews are on scene clearing that accident up. Heading up and on to Stevenson, it remains heavy between Ashland Avenue and California. On the near north side, Division Street is shut down in both directions between Wells and Orleans, all due to CTA Brown Line work that's going on in the area. Otherwise, the rest of the roadways right now are doing just fine. No other incidents or accidents to report. Your current Chicago forecast is mostly cloudy with a low around 69 for your Monday morning, partly sunny with a high of 85, Monday night a low around 64. Your next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Sean Hannity wants to know where the protesters are now.
The headline on Baltimore's CBS News website today is 29 shootings, 9 fatal over Memorial Day weekend. You know the names of one of those people? I doubt it. So my question is, where are all the people that were upset about Freddie Gray? Where are all the people that were upset about Michael Brown?
The Sean Hannity Show. Afternoons at 2, right before Joe Walsh at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5, hydrate like the pros. Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. At deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit gardenfreshmarket.com to find a location near you.
Ready to take your education to the next level? Arizona State University now offers over 90 top-tier degree programs 100% online. With ASU's highly ranked online programs, you'll earn the same degree as our on-campus students with the ability to learn wherever you want, whenever you want. Same world-renowned faculty, same leading education, same global recognition from one of the top universities in the world. Call 1-800-504-3229. That's 1-800-504-3229.
I'm Jamie from Sherman Oaks, and I just graduated with my degree from Arizona State University. I chose ASU because I received the quality education I deserve in the major I wanted, all from my home.
Jamie's not the only one to earn a degree from ASU. Learn more about our over 90 degree programs offered 100% online from one of the top universities. Now's the time to earn your degree online from Arizona State University. Call 1-800-504-3229. That's 1-800-504-3229.
AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back to In the Crease with your host, Kenny McCutton. This portion of our program is brought to you by my friends at Coco 5, all-natural coconut water developed by a team of professional NHL sports medicine experts. Coco 5 is your healthy hydration drink alternative. My guest tonight has been Glenn Crichton, a dear friend that runs the Coping Center in Cambridge, Ontario. But we've been talking about today's athlete throughout major junior hockey back in Canada. Glenn, do you see today's athlete just having more pressure on them? And is that maybe why we're seeing them struggle?
Well, I think absolutely. Our young, not only our young athletes, but our young people today are under a lot of pressure. You know, the game is much more under the microscope. There's much more people watching the game. There, you know, with internet and with TV, young players, you know, striving for scholarships, you know, maybe to make the next level of professional hockey. You know, the school pressures, the future even, as we look at some of the statistical information that is out there, we see that, a significant amount of young people today are worried about the future. One of the statistics that is really troubling to us is that in Canada, and I'm sure that this probably correlates in the U.S., but we're seeing there's a statistic out there that, 7 out of 10 young people between the ages of, you know, 15 and 19 have had suicidal thoughts. It doesn't mean that they've acted on it, but they've had those thoughts. So those are very concerning, and those are quite staggering. When I saw that, I had to read it twice. But it highlights for us again that just the struggles that our young people are facing today, they're different than ours, than our generation. And it's a whole different time, and it's a whole different set of circumstances, and particularly in sport. There's pressures in families for young people to succeed, you know, where we see that many times, you know, there's pressure from parents about, you know, how well a player is playing, and sometimes it's difficult to go home after a game when it hasn't gone well. So we're seeing all those things that are making it very difficult. And then we're seeing competition, too, that, you know, a player that is struggling, you know, is he going to go to his coach and say, listen, I don't think I feel like playing tonight, when there's maybe 5 players behind him that are waiting to take his position, and he kind of feels that if I don't play tonight or if I don't perform well tonight, then another player is going to take my position, and then I'm not going to get back in the game. And then also the whole principle of rejection, you know, that we try out for teams and team says, I'm sorry, you're cut, or we don't want you, and it's just another rejection. So these are all things that are out there that I think are as we talk about, just making it, you know, it's a trying time to be a young person in our world today.
And the Safe Talk program, which stands for Suicide Alertness for Everyone, that's the key word right there, is everyone to recognize it, everyone to help one another, support a teammate, support somebody at school, and instead of just letting it go. I watched a little feature film that you had sent me, and I watched when you see a young Canadian hockey player, and it could be any hockey player at 18 years old, saying, we have to ask more than how was your weekend? And I love that that's, you know, the whole thing is educating themselves when they see an issue in their room.
Exactly. You know, we talk about that being alert is one of the keys. You know, sometimes and it's normal to think about, sometimes we miss or we dismiss or we even avoid sort of things that we kind of go, you know, what happens if he says, yeah, he is struggling, or what do I do? And so we're afraid to kind of go there. And I think that's where the education piece is so valuable, that we can begin to break down those barriers. And when we look at Safe Talk, Safe Talk is to suicide and suicide awareness and alertness, as what CPR is to heart health. That every one of us, that if someone was fell down in front of us with a heart issue, we would hope that we would be able to administer CPR so that we could keep them alive until the professionals came in. With Safe Talk, it's the same thing, that here we are lay people in the game, that when we're confronted with perhaps someone that might be having suicidal thoughts, we're not wearing capes, we're not superhuman, but what we want to do is keep them safe so that we can get the professionals come in to help them. That's the way we make safer communities, that's the way we make safer dressing rooms. And hearing those statistics about young people with those thoughts, we know within our dressing rooms, there's young people that are having those thoughts. As a matter of fact, Kenny, as we've gone in and done the Safe Talk, we've had players come forward that have said to us, I'm struggling and I need some help. We've had players, I mean, one of the stories that we just had recently after a Safe Talk presentation and training, one of the young boys that was playing came forward. He said, I'm so glad I came today. He said, you see, because my dad completed suicide 2 years ago. And as a result of that, he said, I thought I was responsible.
Wow.
He said, today I got some understanding that helped me know that I wasn't responsible. So he said, today I'm free. That's a powerful thing in someone's, in a young person's life.
And that's when you know change is happening. I read that 12 of junior teams have completed the program. What do you think is keeping some other teams or possibly other organizations out of the mix?
Well, I think there's some misconceptions out there sometimes. I mean, when we started this, one of the things that somebody brought forward to us, which was a misconception, is that if we talk about this, someone might be likely to go and do it. So there was this kind of fear out there that, if we mentioned it, we might put an idea in someone's head. But the absolutely opposite is true. In fact, statistically, we know that to be true through research, that when we talk about suicide, we actually create safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we create safety in our communities and in our dressing rooms. So we need to have conversations about that. So sometimes there's just some of that old way of thinking that is in the way. Sometimes I think, too, Kenny, that in up here, so much of our game is run by volunteers, and the game has become so busy at times that our volunteers are just overwhelmed.
Great point. Happening here.
Yeah, to put one more thing on them, their heart is willing, and they want to do it, but then trying to just find that time to put aside to do it sometimes is what is the barrier. And so what we're trying to do there is make it as easy as we possibly can and help them. In other words, all they have to do is book the room and bring the team in, and we'll do the rest.
You're not just getting out to the teams here, Glenn. You're also getting out to the communities.
Exactly, because the more that we can have the conversation, the more people we can train, the safer it is. And so the hope is that we have in the future, I mean, we have 120 teams within the OHA, each with an average of about 30 individuals involved in that team through players and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we multiply that through, and each year, that's a significant number of people that even as they graduate from the OHA, they carry the training into their life. And that's where we talk about building life skills into athletes, that we know that only a very small percentage of players that play at our level will ever make it to the NHL. But they go on into their communities and into their homes and their family people, their husbands, their wives, their business associates, community people. They have that training because suicide touches all areas of our life. We're not immune to it in sports, and we're not immune to it in our communities. We see it in our schools, in our businesses. We see it in politics. All across the gamut of our lives, we see that suicide touches in there. So this is a skill that we can help young people with, not only for today, but also for their future.
Glenn, a few weeks back, I had Clint Malarchuk on discussing depression, anxiety, and mental illness, and he didn't know where to turn during his day, whether he was a junior hockey player or a pro hockey player throughout his career. And you think we're just turning the corner right now with getting these athletes help?
I absolutely do. I listened to your program with Clint and just applaud his courage in speaking out. Because it's only, you know, one of the things that we can do in sport is we, and this was the Behind the Safe Talk program, is we can use sports as a platform to speak a message out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our country, and I'm sure in yours, you know, hockey is a subculture. And so we have so many people that watch the game, involved in the game, love the game, that when players like Clint speak and others that have come out and spoken, players like Sheldon Kennedy, players like Theo Fleury, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, the young Travis Hamonic out of the Islanders, you know, he has a story to tell about grief, and he's using his hockey ability as a platform to deliver a message. And when we talk about these things, not only what happens is we lift the stigma.
Hey, Glenn, can you hold that thought? You've been listening to In the Crease Hockey Radio on AM 560.
5560 wants to say thank you to all the great business benefactors and sponsors who are helping to make possible our annual golf outing, presented by the Mutual Fund Store at the Bolingbrook Golf Club on June 11th. Proceeds from this event will benefit Operation Support Our Troops America. This event is also sponsored in part by Fox River Periodontics, American Embroidery and Screen Printing, Automated Systems, Frank O. Carlson & Company, Dependable Construction Company, Chicago Communications, and by Precision Payroll of America.
Fox News Radio, I'm Gary Baumgarten. Authorities continue to hunt two convicted murderers who escaped from a New York State prison.
Governor Cuomo says it may have taken days for the prisoners to execute. The state offering a $100,000 reward for any information leading to the capture of these convicts, who authorities warn are very dangerous.
Fox 5 New York Stacey Delacat says that they used power tools to escape and left a note behind which reads, "Have a nice day." At the Pocono 400,
Martin Truex Jr. wins Pocono for his third Sprint Cup triumph.
The call on Fox Sports 1, violence at a hip-hop concert at New Jersey's MetLife Stadium, a state trooper hurt. A six-day, three-state crime spree ends when the desperado couple, a 16-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl, couldn't make the swim across the Ohio River, returning to the banks of West Virginia and the waiting arms of the law. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm DJ Lozano with your look at traffic on the eastbound side of the Tri-State Tollway. Emergency crews remain on scene with a multi-vehicle crash that has all lanes shut down right before Half Day Road. Traffic is solid to Townwide Road, stretching as far back near the intersection of Bradley and Old School Road. Heading northbound on I-57, crews are on scene clearing off an earlier crash that had the right lane blocked right after 115th Street and earlier stall on the southbound side of I-55 that was blocking the right lane near Route 83 has been cleared and everything is being moved off to the side. Heavy delays continue on the outbound side of the Stevenson. It's all construction delays between Ashton Avenue and California. Otherwise, the rest of the roadways right now are doing just fine. Your current Chicago forecast is a low around 69 for your Monday morning, a sunny high of 85 Monday night, dropping down to around 64. Your next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in six thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection. Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at GardenFreshMarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in six thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 21 days by calling 1-800-511-7959. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 21-day in-home trial. 1-800-511-7959. That's 1-800-511-7959.
AM 560, The Answer.
We have returned to In the Crease, and thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Kenny McCudden. My guest has been Glenn Crichton, the founder of the Coping Center in Cambridge, Ontario. We're discussing some issues throughout the OHA and through Major Junior Hockey. Glenn, a question I have for you is, the bottom line, the culture has to change to make a dent in the situation with suicide.
Absolutely. And you know, we just talked before we went to break about the stigma that is attached to suicide and how that forces many people to sort of suffer in isolation because, you know, in the past, you know, we look back, some of the attitudes towards suicide, they were basically archaic. It wasn't that long ago that in Canada, they stated it was a crime, and that's how we got the word committed suicide. Because it was like committing a crime, and even in religious circles, there was some teaching and speaking out there about, you know, if people took their lives, that somehow it would preclude them from getting to heaven. And so there's a lot of mythology out there. So we need to break that down because it's not true. And we break down that stigma, and we have these conversations. More people are willing to come forward. And when the sports world and the athletic world comes forward and shares some of their own personal stories, it begins to open the opportunities for others to come and feel a freedom and to be able to seek help. We talk about battling back in hockey, but battling back with issues that are our mental wellness, mm-hmm. our mental illness, is about reaching out for help.
Glenn, has Canada Hockey supported the Safe Talk program?
They certainly have. They are, not only the OHA has been the first organization to introduce a Safe Talk training and a strategy as it relates to suicide, but the OHL also is doing a similar program. They had a young player out of Saginaw last year that was on the news that left the team, and they found him in the parking lot.
I recall that.
I believe it might have been a Walmart. I'm not sure what it was, but they found him, and that really, again, was them stepping forward to say, we want to create safer places for our players. So bit by bit, I think you're saying we're seeing it change, and that's good. And the more we can do it, the more training we can do, the more conversations we can have, the safer it is.
Glenn, talking about the stigma and suicide, tell me about the four ways that people die. Do you know that quote?
Yeah. Well, you know, we see so often, and particularly as we work with families that have been left behind, just their struggles. You know, some of their feelings of guilt and blame, and their struggle in talking about it. But you know, really, when we think of death, we see that people, you know, they die of natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
And people die of sicknesses,
mm-hmm.
an accident. People die of murder, and people die from suicide. And suicide is the only one that carries the stigma. Yet it's a way in which people die, and so we need to understand that we need to take that away from that. That it's just another way that people die. And here's the piece with suicide, Kenny, that is so important. It's not that people want to die. It's that they're struggling to live. And it's the pain.
Hmm.
It's the pain that they're struggling with. That the pain is so insurmountable that the willingness to live begins to diminish in them. And so we need to understand that. It's not people don't want to die. It's just that their willingness to live or their desire to live is becoming so difficult for them because of the pain. So if we can work with the pain, then we can begin to lower that threshold for them, and we can allow for that spark of life to come back. But we need to find ways to do that. We need to be there for them, because sometimes people are also very, very good at masking.
Oh, yeah, when you don't see the issues, and it's scary. And then when you hear about the result, it even frightens you more.
Exactly. So you know, if we continue on this pathway, we can certainly help a number of people. But I think that we're not going to eliminate it, because there's so many factors, but we can make a difference.
And just recognizing the signs is the start for so many people to help other people.
Exactly. And isn't it, you know, we all talk about, goals in the game, but it's great to get some assists too. And in life, that's true. You know, there's nothing like coming alongside somebody and helping them when they need a little bit of help. That brings purpose and meaning to our lives too.
And Glenn, quickly, have you ever thought about bringing the Safe Talk program to the States, like, for instance, through the USHL?
Well, Safe Talk is a world-renowned program, so it's not exclusive to us at the OHA.
Okay.
And I certainly would be open to talk to any hockey organization that wanted to pursue something like that, just in order to help them understand what maybe some of the steps they would be willing to do. And anybody that would want to explore this, we would be more than happy to talk to them about it. Share with them any information that we have, talk to them about how to connect with their local providers of the program. It is in the U.S., and if someone would Google Safe Talk, it will come up, and it will talk far more extensively about it than what we are right now.
Yeah, the educational process has to get, I think, even to the high school level here in the States, which would be very, very important. But what a subject, what a show. We will be returning to In the Crease with my guest, Glenn Crichton, after these important messages.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm B.G. Lozano with your look at traffic. An area to avoid right now is on the eastbound side of the Tri-State Tollway. Emergency crews remain on scene with a multi-vehicle crash that's shutting down all lanes right before Half Day Road. And traffic is solid, stretching back to Townline Road and as far back as the intersection of Bradley and Old School Road. On the south side, 18th Street remains closed in both directions between Racine Avenue and Throop, all due for the Pilsen Food Truck Social. And heading near the north side, Division Street is shut down east and westbound between Wells and Orleans, all for CTA Brown Line work that's going on in the area, and CTA will be rerouting the number 70 buses. Otherwise, the rest of the roads right now are doing fine. Your current Chicago forecast is a low around 69 for your Monday morning, a sunny high of 85, Monday night a low around 64. Your next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection. Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand-named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at gardenfreshmarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
Every month, Heather Cook helps dozens of people file claims for life insurance bought through SelectQuote. The stories she tells are inspiring. Like this one about Joe, a 39-year-old research analyst. Joe was healthy, but with a wife and 2 sons, he realized he needed life insurance just in case. Joe called SelectQuote. His agent, Scott, shopped a number of highly rated term life companies, and though Joe's budget was tight, got him a $1 million policy he could afford. Last April, Joe died from heart failure. But thanks to his life insurance through SelectQuote, his family can keep the house and the boys can go to college. See how affordable SelectQuote can make just in case for you.
For a free quote, call 1-800-700-1773. 1-800-700-1773. 1-800-700-1773. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back for another period of In the Crease Hockey Radio with your host, Kenny McCudden. This program is sponsored by Garden Fresh Market. Choose from thousands of items that include your favorite name brands and the freshest hand-picked produce. Visit your local Garden Fresh Market and find out why Fresh is their middle name. My guest has been Glenn Crichton, a man that I feel that's making a big difference in an awful lot of people's lives. But Glenn, you and your wife started a program called the Coping Center in 1990. Tell me how that was all started.
Yeah, Kenny, coping stands for caring of people in grief, and really it has come out of our own personal story of loss. In 1982, our middle daughter, Rochelle, was just 5 days short of her fifth birthday, and she had a few glands that came up on her neck, and we didn't think much of it because kids do get, you know, colds and things, but when we took her to the doctor, she was diagnosed with lymphoblastic leukemia, and Kenny, we're just getting our minds wrapped around this term called leukemia on a Wednesday, and the following Monday, Rochelle died. Mm. And this just rocked our whole world. This changed us forever. And we had no idea of the depth of which the grief would cut to us. We certainly felt alone and isolated, and there wasn't a lot of help or support and a lot of information. And so we began to initially just feel our way along in this whole process. And one day somebody said something very important to me that kind of changed the course of my grief. They said to me, Glenn, grief is what we feel, but mourning is how we express it. Mm. And that if we're ever going to find our way through the darkness and grief, then we need to find ways to mourn. We need to be active in our grief. Because for a number of months and even a year or so, I just felt so helpless. And when that person sort of said that to me, it was like the light went on. And I began to understand that in honoring Rochelle's life, mm-hmm. that and as her father, that I needed to mourn her, that it was the right thing to do and the honoring thing to do. And I need to find ways to get all that stuff that was on the inside out. But I couldn't do it alone. I had to find a community, others to do it as well. So we began to seek out others that have lost, and in interesting Kenny, they became our best teachers, that we became the students because we realized that grief had a unique piece to it, and that as we began to listen to others, they began to teach us what was needed to come alongside others and support them. How could we companion those in their grief? Grief didn't need to be treated because it wasn't a sickness. We were brokenhearted. It needed to be supported. And so through that, we began to develop a program that we felt that people had shared with us would be helpful for them. And so in 1992, we formulated Coping Bereavement Support Groups of Ontario, a nonprofit charitable organization that was meant to come alongside others that had lost and companion those in their grief journey. We wanted it to be an organization where people could come at no cost because sometimes finances can be a barrier. Family mm-hmm. being devastated through the loss of a wage earner, or in a sickness, maybe there'd been all sorts of money spent, and many times families had nothing. So we wanted it to be free of charge with no barriers, and so we purposed that no one would pay to come. And started in 1992. Today, we have a beautiful property in Cambridge, 6.2 acres, with a century home that the charity owns. And we have over 200 people a week that are coming. We work with children starting the age of four. They're sometimes the forgotten mourners, and children have taught us if you're old enough to love, you're old enough to mourn. Hmm. With teens, young adults, bereaved parents, mixed loss, people who've lost brothers or sisters, mothers, fathers, widows, widowers, those that have lost through suicide, and grandparents. So we kind of looked at the whole mix in our community and said, if you've lost someone and you need some support, we want you to know there's a place for you to come, a place where you can be cared for, because there's no there's convalescence in everything else we have in life, but there's no convalescence for grief. So we want people to know there's a place.
Glenn, what's the difference between grief and mourning?
So So grief are the emotions, Kenny. You know, we can put words to it. People have said sadness. People mm-hmm. have said anger. People have put all sorts of words to it. And they're the things that we feel when we lose. And depending on that loss, there can be all sorts of, sometimes we feel guilt. Sometimes we feel regret. Sometimes we feel sad. We can be, you know, you name it.
So everybody's handling it in different ways.
Everyone handles it different. But mourning is how we express it. Mourning is how we take what's on the inside and move it out. It's an interesting principle. When grief is the flip side of love. When we learn to love someone, we love them actually from the outside in. We take them and we get to know them, and we love everything about them from the outside in. But when we lose them, we mourn them from the inside out. And so we need to find ways in a context of our personalities to do that. Sometimes as athletes, we struggle because we've been taught to put on the game face. You know, big boys don't cry.
Sure.
But we need to find those ways. And so what we do here is we help people find those ways in their own personalities so that they can honor and express and mourn those that they've lost.
Glenn, throughout my years involved with hockey, 26 years, I think that's one part of my job as a coach at youth level and minor hockey that is very difficult for me is to, and it happens often, believe it or not, but the masses that you work with, difficult for me to see children pass away or even young children lose a mother or father. It just changes the complexion of that family in a horrific way.
Absolutely.
So, it's I wish that I could play this for some of the families, and I might just do that, that recently have just lost a child, and I plan on playing this show for them. And I actually spoke to a father last week after you and I spoke about making this show happen, and he said he would look forward to even speaking to you. But, I'd have to say that's one part of my job that I find very, very difficult and tough to go to those services. Do not go away. In the Crease Hockey Radio, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all natural coconut water in 6 thirst quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
In the early 60s, Dolores and Ray Butcher and their three daughters earned a trip to Disneyland by collecting S&H green stamps. It was a dream come true. Today, nearly everyone has a wallet or keychain full of loyalty reward cards that they use for discounts, gifts, and even free dinners at their favorite restaurants. For years, an international company has been offering a universal loyalty rewards card in Europe. We call it the Blue Card, one card to replace dozens. The Blue Card offers discounts up to 5% cash back. It even accumulates points to shop at participating merchants and an online mall. Today, they're looking for independent representatives to launch this card in the U.S. and Canada. It is free to get the card and free to become a representative. You could help launch the Blue Card in your area and get paid wherever it is used. Imagine you could be paid every time someone fills their gas tank, buys groceries, orders an airline ticket, or purchases just about anything.
To get your free Blue Card, go to BlueCardShopping.com. That's BlueCardShopping.com. BlueCardShopping.com.
AM 560, The Answer.
We have returned to In the Crease Hockey Radio here on AM 560, The Answer. This part of In the Crease is sponsored in part by Rosemont. It's all here. Tickets are on sale now for Imagine Dragons June 15th at the Allstate Arena. For more things to do, visit rosemont.com. My guest has been Glenn Crichton, the founder of the Coping Center in Cambridge, Ontario. Glenn, in our last segment before commercial, we were talking about, I was actually talking about the loss of kids or a mother and father, how difficult it is. Throughout my years also, it's amazing to see how an organization or an association can help that family.
Absolutely. And Kenny, you kind of hit it on the head. We all struggle. What can we say? What do we say? And in my own our own personal experience, I can't remember anything anyone said that was actually revelationary, but I do remember one person. And actually, it was a hockey player. It was some of anyone my age may remember, but we were good friends with Dean and June Prentice.
Yes.
And when Dean, if anybody doesn't know, probably 19 years in the NHL, you know, was part of the line with Bathgate and also played with Howe and DeVecchio in Detroit. Tremendous, hardworking player, you know, gritty and tough. But when Rochelle died, every day Dean would come and he'd knock on our door and he'd come into the room and he'd sit in the corner. I don't remember anything Dean said to me, but I do remember that, that he was present. And so one of the greatest gifts that Dean taught us that we can give those that are lost or they're hurting is we give them the gift of presence. We show up. We're there. It's not what we say, because we say 1,000 words when we show up. People don't care how much we know till they know how much we care.
Mm.
And so the hockey world is one of the great communities of that shows up, because in sports we are taught to show up. You know, we show up for the big games, we show up for the practices. So when things are good, we show up. But when things are not going well, when things are sad, the hockey community is a great community that steps forward and shows up. And they bring comfort without saying anything by being present in the midst of people's suffering. It's a great gift.
It is.
Each other.
Glenn, tell me about the book that you co-authored called Blindsided, A Game Plan for Grief.
Yeah, we had so often gone into teams and tried to talk to young people about grief, and it's such a foreign subject at time that we needed to find some platform to which we could make a transition. And so we wrote a book using the principles of sports to take men, hockey players, sports athletes, women, whoever, but to take them from the very familiar world of sports to the unfamiliar world of grief using sports terminology to make that transition. Because many times we see that the sports actually does reflect life. There are a lot of principles in sports that are life principles.
Yep.
You know, teamwork, working together, communication, legacy. All these are things that we learn in the game, but they're also things that we transfer into our life skills as well. So we took these principles of sports and we started to take them over and talk about some of the very principles of grief that people had shared with us, stories that people had taught us about what it was like for them to lose and what they had learned from it, with the hope that as we share our stories with others, there's a powerful message in our stories. And that as we share those stories, that others may be able to take little pieces of what they hear and hopefully just make the unbearable a little more bearable.
Glenn, where can our listeners find your coping center with email or a website?
Yep. So if they can want to get on the website at www.copingcenter.com. Our phone number is 519-650-0852, and that's also listed on our website. And if they'd like to contact me or contact us and we can help in any way, they can get us at Coping, that's C-O-P-I-N-G, at Coping Center, and the center is C-E-N-T-R-E.com.
Glenn, thank you very much for making this show possible and bringing your message. I would like to thank my producer, Debbie Schreiner, for passing me the puck for tonight's show. I'm your host, Kenny McCudden. Please contact me for your hockey needs at icecompanyhockey.net. We will return next Sunday night at 11 p.m. Keep your head up and good night.
Most grocery stores lack that